Dead Ringers, Best of the Year.
Welcome back to Radio 3. Quiet, isn't it? Well, I hardly need tell you that was Wagner's Ring Cycle. 13 hours and 38 minutes of soaring heavenly music. Exquisite, wasn't it? It's perfect in every way. But I'm afraid I've got something rather unfortunate to tell you all. During Act 3 of Siegfried, when Siegfried goes through the enchanted fire and finds Brunhilde, one of our listeners, and they know who they are, got up to make a cup of tea. There's always someone who has to spoil things for everyone else. Now, look, you're not here to enjoy yourselves. This is Radio 3, where we listen intently to some very nice music, very quietly. So let's listen to it all over again. And properly this time.
Hello, I'm Janet Street-Porter, and welcome to Celebrity Sleepover, the show that gets C-list celebrities to stay over with members of the general public while a D-list celebrity presents it. This week, our celebrity is Doctor Who. And by a strange twist of fate, we've placed him with the Dalek family. Which has recently moved to Milton Keynes from Scarrow because of the more affordable house prices.
We were hoping for Keith Chegwin.
Day one starts badly, with the Doctor accusing the Daleks of being standoffish.
Well, I was up in my room all morning and not a single one of them came upstairs to see how I was settling in. And another thing, the room is most bizarre. You know, it's no bigger on the inside than it appears from the outside.
Day two begins with the Daleks and the Doctor arguing.
It is true. A Time Lord is forbidden from interfering directly with the affairs of other life forms.
That's a likely excuse for refusing to do the washing up.
And matters aren't helped when it's revealed that the bin the Doctor put out for collection on the front lawn turned out to be the Dalek's youngest daughter. Anyway, join me next week when we see how the Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon enjoys his sleepover with the Arafat family of the occupied West Bank.
Dear the Queen, thank you very much for your invitation to dinner this week. Bulgy smile, gracious eyes. Unfortunately, myself and my wife, the grinning joker out of Batman, were not able to attend due to a prior commitment. Nervous tick, beaming hair. And of course, that commitment is the one that your son Edward made at the altar to that mouthy, doe-eyed, jumped-up PR girl who said that my wife was horrid, angry flash of temper. But for her, we would have been pleased to come. Last time, we particularly enjoyed the gin and Guinness-filled Finder's Crispy pancakes that the Queen Mother set fire to. But we'd have rather chewed our own legs off than have to talk to that Sophie. And I thought it was just Cherie who had a big mouth. See you soon. Lots of love, Tony. P.S. Starry ears, perspiring shirt, missing the party face.
Welcome to Parkinson. I'm joined now by Robbie Williams and his very good friend, Jerry. Anyway, so, Robbie, there are rumours floating about you and Jerry and the nature of your friendship. I mean, is there any truth to them?
Hey, Parky, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, these last 3 weeks have been like, you know, something really special. Nights by the fireside, marathon lovemaking sessions, senseless kneecappings. She's a one-in-a-million girl. Jerry, I love you. From your cute little button nose to your big bushy beard and huge crooked teeth. I really respect the fact she's into politics. I mean, you know, that UNICEF thing was really smart. But now all this stuff about United Ireland, I respect it. I really do, you know.
And what about you, Jerry?
Well, it's been a whirlwind, Michael. 3 weeks ago, I was talking with Sir David Trimble about the prospects of reinstating the Northern Ireland Assembly. And here I am.
Hey, she's great, ain't she, Parky? I'm the envy of every man I know.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. My body's too bootylicious for you. And now, you and yours.
Hello, I'm John Waite.
And I'm Liz Barclay. We've received a call from a man who claims to have been handed some shoddy goods.
4 years ago, I received the Conservative Party. But it has been nothing but aggravation ever since. It was impossible to steer and kept going into reverse every time I put my foot down.
We discovered that the previous owner had crashed it and had been lucky to stumble from the wreckage.
It wasn't my fault. It was a death trap. It was, in fact, two parties crudely welded together.
So I'm afraid, Mr. Haig, you're stuck with a load of junk that no one in their right mind would take off your hands.
That's what you think. Right, Ken, here's the keys. It's in lovely condition, barely out of the garage.
Well, no way. It's a load of junk.
There's a barrel of Watney's in the boot.
I'll take it.
You're listening to Today with Sue McGregor and the Grumpy Welshman. It's just coming up to 7:45, so in a moment, more news, but first, something trivial and light-hearted. A survey has revealed that young voters would like to see Ali G as Prime Minister. He joins me now from our Punani car. Good morning, Mr. G.
Booyakasha. Good morning to you. Sue, and made me say what a pleasure it is to be talking to you. Me not listen to Radio 4 as listening to Coxie, but in me, Sue, you was looking like Cat Dealey.
Yes, yes, I do. Now, you're very popular amongst the young. Would you take on the role of Prime Minister if it was offered to you?
Me understand what you were saying. Sue, but you see, if I was the PM thing and I was bigging it up in number 10, me would have to give up me Julie and start boning Sherry Blair, aye? She gonna be needing that wide mouth, you know how you say it.
Right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. As we've run out of the time we always allocate to frothy whimsy. So, over to John for a proper story.
Thank you very much, Sue. Is it because I is black?
Booyakasha.
Respect.
Hello, I'm Melvin Bragg. You're thinking, is he or isn't he? Well, yes, I am wearing Harmony hairspray. This week, we're having a well-wicked and youthful edition of In Our Time. Joining me are the writer, critic, and reggae star, Shaggy.
You're a queen, and that's how you should be treated. My pants are immaculately pleated.
Thought-provoking words, Shaggy. Also with me today is the writer, critic, broadcaster, and rap bad boy, Eminem.
Dear Mel, I go to hell and yell and tell the world my diamond in our time. Or take part in Start the Week, should you be on that? Not Paxman, he's Laxman. I'd be the tax man, the axe man. Put him in the sax man, throw him in the harbor, Mel. Go see a barber. You're hairy, scary, ain't you a berry? Get a trim, you're slim.
Now, I'd like you to expand on that point a little later. But for this youth-driven edition, the obvious first question is, what impact has 18th-century humanism, and specifically the writings of John Stuart Mill, had on contemporary culture? Shaggy?
She got me Mr. Bombastic, me pants are elastic. I'd say the impact has been, drastic.
Eminem?
What, Stuart John Mill? He's worth nil. Ain't no thrill like a philosophical Jimmy Hill.
Well, that's all for today. Next week, Professor Richard Dawkins and Tom Paulin will be arguing that just because she dances disco, that don't make her a... Oh, no.
Hello, Philip. pick. How can I help?
Hello, is that Keystone Records?
Yes, it is.
And you're one of the artist and repertoire directors?
I am, yes.
Oh, very, very good. Forgive this call out of the blue. It's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
Hello.
I'm just taking a little bit of time to canvass opinion from informed people across the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this idea, in principle? In the run-up to the election, I was thinking about releasing a single. Just to...
It was truly William Hague.
Indeed.
William, well, we have to talk seriously about which song you'd actually want to record.
I've actually done an early demo, which I'll just play for you now, and you can tell me what you think of it. I've decided at this stage to do a cover version rather than an original song. And the one that I have chosen is in the charts now, I believe. That one by Nelly Furtado.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Like a Bird. Hang on, I'll tell me what you think. Here we go.
Okay.
Here it is. You're beautiful, that's for sure. You never, ever fade. You're lovely, but it's not for sure. That I won't ever change, and that my love is great, and that my love is true. I'm like a bird fly away. I don't know where my home is. I don't know where my soul is. And baby, all I need for you to, I'm like a bird. I'm like a bird, like a pigeon, or a chaffinch. So what do you reckon?
Well, I think you're certainly going along with the right lines there.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. And in the wake of Big Brother and Survivor, we look back now at the first ever reality show.
Long before Castaway, the BBC threw together people from every corner of the country to live together in a tiny rural hamlet, totally cut off from the real world. Day 22,306. And Clary's desperate that unlike the previous 700 weeks, the Grundy family won't fail the task set for them to get through one whole day without anything going wrong for them.
23 hours, 58 seconds, 59 seconds, oh, I think we're going to be... Oh,
Dow, Clary, Joe's just accidentally swallowed a combine harvester. And William's been admitted to the Priory Clinic because of his addiction to Swarfiga.
Day 28,709, and the ferrets are in pensive mood. As everyone's angry, they haven't been laying as many eggs as expected. And Joe is standing over their cage, angrily wielding a frying pan.
Lay, you buggers, lay.
Day 32,804, and after doubling the village's food budget by completing the task of riding a unicycle round a room while Shula balanced David Archer on a stick, Linda Snell parties long into the night with Eddie Grundy. Slipping from the jacuzzi naked just after midnight, Linda begins giving Eddie a full-body massage.
Linda, there's something you should know. I like milking, I do.
Day 35,301... And nasty Brian Aldridge has been evicted for passing notes to the other inhabitants, claiming there's something called a script.
I did not.
Day 41,000, and the inhabitants now have only £6 left to spend on sound effects for the rest of the week. Meanwhile, Ruth has just emerged from the den with one of the pigs and has discovered she's pregnant.
Oh, no.
Oh, hello, it's me again. Just let me sit down and take the weight off my superiority. I won't be long. If I sit still, I attract dust and I won't have that in my house. Now, it's about this so-called restructuring of Marks and Spencer. I have have it on good authority that you're closing the French end of your operation. Outrageous. Where else are the people of Europe to buy exotic Belgian chocolates, unusual German sausages, and fresh French bread? Well, you could say Belgium, Germany, and France, and you'd be right, but... And mine is a big but. It wouldn't be the same, would it? And I'll tell you why. Because these items wouldn't have M&S written on them and cost an extra £2 for no discernible reason, would they? That's the difference, gentlemen. M&S exists because there are some of us who wouldn't be seen dead in Asda, let me tell you that. That's for people who go shopping in their slippers. Anyway, I must dash. I've got a half-finished toilet tissue cosy that's positively aching for a basket stitch. Cheerio.
Joining me now is the new Tottenham manager, Glenn Hoddle. Glenn, you've got a cup match coming up, and the word is you've inherited a few problems.
Yeah, big Sol Campbell's got an ankle, and the boy Rebroff looks like he's having a groin.
I heard a rumour about Les Ferdinand.
Yeah, he's definitely got an arm. At first, we thought it was an elbow, but we've had it on the table and it's definitely the whole thing.
Any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, to be honest, I'm keeping everything crossed, but, of course, I've got a finger.
And have you had a chance to speak to the England coach, Sven-Göran Eriksson?
Yeah, I have, but I just can't understand a word he's saying.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby. Tonight, yet another chance to hear a reading of Bridget Jones's diary. And like everything else on Radio 4, it has to be read by Martin Jarvis.
Hello. I'm Bridget Jones. Went out for date 2 with Jeremy last night. He's so boring, but felt sorry for him. So I let him have a sympathy snog before putting him in a cab. Desperately attempted to cheer myself up. Down 7 glasses of Chardonnay, the bad. Then bought 14 copies of that fabulous audio tape, Martin Jarvis reads The Central Heating Boiler Installation. VVVV, good.
You know, I can't believe it. It's June the 8th, and here I am, back on the doorstep of number 10, Barbara Spags, nervous tick, receding mandate. I just can't wait to get inside. Frankly, after 4 weeks of press conferences with Brown, Cook, Gus MacDonald, it'll be a relief not to hear any more whining Scottish voices for a few hours.
Hello, I'm Carol Smiley. The patron saint of Prozac, welcoming you to changing rooms.
My God, what the hell have you done to number 10? Angry stare, pointy finger.
Well, that's a good question. Linda Barker, what have we done?
Well, Carol, we started by getting rid of all that democracy that was cluttering up the country and replacing it with our very own totalitarian regime. First, we took that wall over there, colour-washed it purple, and then put everyone up against it and had them permanently disenfranchised, which General Pinochet had told us would be really, really effective.
My God, there's tanks parked all over the lawn. Now, I'm really going to have some serious words with Ewan about his drinking. Modern parent, private school denim shirt.
Tony, which Handy Andy constructed from some leftover MDF, plasterboard sheeting and some fiberglass plyboard. And they'll be really, really effective in breaking up any pro-democracy protests. Absolutely, Linda. Look, Tony, here comes the flamboyant genius who masterminded the whole coup.
My God, just look at him. A turquoise leopard print camouflage skin-tight leather trouser with ethnic print fringing and a Moroccan fez. Could only be one man, Lawrence Llewellyn Byrne.
No, it's me, Peter Mandelson. Mochaccinos, avocados, balaclavas and lots of constituency work. So I want you two to go into the library and shut your eyes tight. And don't open them until you hear a lot of footsteps and I say the word.
And that word is aim, then fire. Good night.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. I want your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. And now another look at what's coming up on Radio 4 later. 200 kilos of grade A Colombian cocaine for £250,000 in used non-sequential notes. Gentlemen, a pleasure doing business with you. That's the exchange with me, Brian Perkins, and Joaquin the Condor Gonzalez.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. We're loving it, loving it, loving it, we're loving it like that. And now it's a treat for all children, as they can all disappear off to the pub while their parents listen to Radio 4's only children's programme, Go For It.
Hello, I'm Matt Smith, the man who makes Carol Smiley sound like a manic depressive. And yes, in case you're wondering, no, that wasn't a misprint in the Radio Times. The four in Go For It really is written as the number four. Yeah, trendy, eh? Too bad when you try and spell it out like that in your GCSEs, you fail. Only joking, I think. Ace. Yes, this is the show. Yes, this is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think kids are into. Shakespeare sonnets, Japanese kabuka theatre, and, of course, feng shui. Ace. This week, we've got a well-wicked reading by Will Self. Ace. Well, this is his latest work, How the Dead Live.
My lithopedian looked at me with little jet periwinkle eyes, mineral eyes. Its eyes have a black liveliness so unlike its body, which is as grey as the York stone it stood upon.
Wasn't that great? Remember, last week in our competition, we asked you what we could possibly be more annoying than a 30-year-old man trying to sound like a 12-year-old boy. See you next week on Go For It, Ace.
After Phil Collins heard that Elton John was doing the music for non-Disney cartoons, he's hit back by releasing this, his new CD. Phil Collins sings those cartoons that Elton John hasn't got round to recording a song for yet. From The Haunting...
Tom and Jerry chase each other all day. Tom runs as fast as he's able. Tom ran into some furniture and swallowed it. Now he's the shape of a table.
To The Sublime.
Why was Rhubarb so badly drawn? He just wobbled all over the place. Did they run out of money at some stage? Or was the artist off his face?
And of course, this wonderful tribute to Dick Dastardly.
How can he just let the anthill mob get right past him on the bend, when Dick Dastardly's got a telescope arm with a chainsaw on the end? He's the only one who we let cheat at it all. So take a look at him now, where his car's been sawn in half, but he still finds time to punch his dog for doing that sniggering laugh. Take a look at him now.
Don't just sit there, Muttley, do something.
You should not have come here, Obi-Wan. Now the circle is complete.
If you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. My old pal, my old dear.
Your powers are weak, old man. Now I am the master.
I will call upon Yoda.
And help you, I must. Talk backwards. Handicap it is. Beauty, me old pal, me old dear.
He will help me defeat the dark side, evil Vader.
Oh, perhaps, old man. But that won't get the pigs in.
Hello?
Hello, may we speak to Mr. Blair, please?
Who's that? Could we speak to Mr. Blair?
Who's calling?
Is that Mr. Blair?
Yes.
Oh, just a moment. We have a call from the Oval Office for you.
From where?
From the Oval Office. Just a moment.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Blair.
Yes, this is Lionel Blair.
Mr. Blair, it's President W. Bush. I just wanted to call personally and wish you well. Wish you well for the impending climaxification to your campaign.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. I'm hoping that I'm going to get through with a landslide. If not, a tap step will do.
A what?
A tap step.
A tap step?
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, I could not think of a better way to celebrate a great victory than to have a real fine dance.
Absolutely. I think so, too, especially a line dance.
Well,
and John Prescott could do punch dancing.
Yeah, I think they might need Steve from the Jerry Springer Show just to keep him in line.
Listen, Doug, yeah, how are your daughters?
Well, they're a little...
Are they still pissed?
That means something slightly different in the United States.
Oh, does it?
They're a little inebriatified.
Inebriated, that's the word, yes.
They're totally inebriatified.
I know.
Mr. Blair, what might be your first methodology to improverate your United States of England?
To improve?
Yeah.
Between the United States and England? Well, I say live and let live. Let our people work there and your people work here. So there's no problems with permits.
I always thought Miss Piggy was really rough on him.
Oh, very. I'm sorry.
Mr.
Yeah, you're not listening very well.
I can see that we're going to be great allies, Mr. Blair. Well, let's stand shoulder to shoulder.
Let's do that, and we'll shuffle off to Buffalo together.
Oh, Mr. Blair, I've always very much admired your style and the style of your opposition.
Oh, yes, listen, Eunice Stubbs was always wonderful.
Yeah. Mr. Blair, this is wonderful, but it's kind of getting a bit weird now.
Talking to you, George.
Goodbye, Mr. Blair.
Bye-bye, then.
All the best for your campaign,
bye, then,
Mr. Blair.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly, and Phil Cornwall. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain, John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.